This program was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local programs, go to our website, freshfm.net, or download the Access Internet radio app.
Welcome to the Tasman District Council Lowdown. The Dry Weather Task Force has had its first meeting of this season and its message is really clear. A dry summer is on the way and water conservation must start now.
The first task force meeting was held much earlier than in previous years. The team had taken on board from last year that we really need to be well prepared for the predicted dry season to come. This is even more important in light of the fact that rainfall in most parts of the district is well below the yearly average, and that's despite some recent rainfall that we have had. Everyone still needs to do their bit to care for our limited water resources by conserving water now. We can hopefully delay the start of mandatory restrictions for urban users and resource consent holders. There are lots of ways you can save water every day. You can check out the website, which is tasman.govt.nz/link/water-tips. And there's lots of great ideas on there. Now, when we come to restrictions, which it's looking likely that we will, everyone connected to the reticulated public water supply across the district will experience phased restrictions, and these are clearly laid out on our website. And they do differ from last year as they're phased by letters rather than numbers. If you have a private water supply, such as a well or a river tank, you'll also need to reduce water use in the event of a water shortage and should think about conserving water now. When restrictions are introduced, this will be publicised here on this radio show, in the printed Newsline magazine, local newspapers, and we'll use signage around the district as well. For water resource consent holders, the situation will also change this summer. In the Waimea Plains area, rationing may be staged differently than in the past, so it's really important to pay attention to what your responsibilities are. Tasman District Council will be writing to every resource consent holder to let you know when restrictions are in effect and what reductions you need to make. However, you're also encouraged to check the terms of your resource consent and keep an eye on water flows via our website to stay up to date with the situation.
Tasman's street ambassadors are back. As the Christmas and summer social season ramps up, Tasman's street ambassadors will be out and about again, promoting safety in Richmond, Muruwika and the surrounding communities of Mapua, Rewaka, Kaitiritiri, Brightwater and Wakefield, just as they have for the last 9 years. They will be out from Friday the 6th of December. They are skilled youth workers who, in partnership with police, community patrol and Māori wardens, help to keep people safe after dark every summer. This year, they'll be on the streets from early evening to late nights on Friday and Saturdays, running right through till February 2020. Ambassadors promote positive messages around personal health and well-being, council bylaws like drinking in public spaces, freedom camping, and they share information on youth and community services, facilities, events and programs. They'll also help with actively diffusing aggressive behaviour and minimising harm from alcohol and drugs. Street Ambassador service is provided by Tasman District Council and delivered by Youth and Community Works.
November is Kickstart Compost Month, and to help you get going, we're offering Tasman households $30 off a compost bin, worm farm or bokashi set from approved retailers. Composting is an easy and effective way to reduce the amount of food waste going to landfill, as well as reduce the carbon emissions it creates. Did you know food and garden waste makes up about 30% of our landfill, and much of this could be composted at home or through council or commercial services? Free composting workshops will be held in Richmond, Mutueka and Golden Bay during November. So head to the website tasman.govt.nz/link/compost for details, and that's also where you can download your $30 off voucher. Get stuck into it this month, November Kickstart Compost Month. Here's a question. Have you ever been guilty of using your toilet as a rubbish bin? Now, this is something that some people seem to be doing. We recently had a major sewer blockage in the Mapua area that was caused by a flushed pair of men's undies. Now, this is obviously people doing things like this is creating a lot of unnecessary and expensive repairs, both for us here, but it's a common problem all around New Zealand. It puts a burden on local ratepayers and it can actually lead to the sewers being blocked, overflowing, and that's not something anybody wants. So this is just a really timely reminder that we should all only flush the things that the wastewater system is actually designed for, and that's your three P's. That's your poo, your pee, and your paper, toilet paper, that is. Wipes should never be flushed, although the labels on some products say flushable or biodegradable, they can clog the sewer pipes and cause damage to pumps and wastewater systems, which can be very expensive to fix. The problem is that wipes don't break down the same as toilet paper does. They retain their shape and their strength, so they can become snagged and then stuck in the pipes or on the pumps, or also make their way right into the wastewater treatment plants. Not only are those repairs very expensive, blockages can cause sewage overflows into homes, businesses and local waterways. I don't think anyone's too keen on that. Other commonly flushed products that shouldn't be include tissues, fats and oils, grease, paper hand towels, sanitary pads, tampons and clothing, believe it or not. Everything we flush finds its way into the wastewater treatment plant and then to our oceans, rivers or onto the land. So remember, the toilet is just for the three P's, poo, pee and paper, and everything else goes in the rubbish bin.
The wake caused by speeding boats in Anchorage Bay and Araroa in the Abel Tasman National Park has been an issue for the up to 100 boats anchoring in the bay for many years. Am I correct in saying that it's been so bad on occasions that unsuspecting occupants of anchored boats have been thrown overboard by the speed and wake of passing vessels?
Yeah, that's right. As harbour masters, we can't be there to police speeding boats day and night, so we've approached DOC for their backing to use the Project Yanzoon cameras in the area. We've received great support for the idea and have had 24-hour access to the cameras ever since.
That's cool. Has it made any difference to the amount of boats speeding in the area?
Yes, we've had great feedback from the company owners and managers after having photo evidence proving that some of their skippers had been breaking the law, especially in popular and congested areas like Anchorage.
That's awesome. Great to see that a collaboration like this between the council and other organisations is paying off and making a difference for people. As the weather is getting warmer, our coastlines and rivers are getting busier, and to make sure that everyone has a good time and stays safe, it's important to follow the rules while in the water. One of the most important ones is the 200 meter rule. What does this rule mean for boaties?
Yeah, totally. So this rule means sticking to 5 knots, which is 9.2 kilometers per hour within 200 meters of shore, to minimize the risk of having an accident and disturbing other water users. I do believe this rule is common sense for most boaties, but looking at recent stats, this is still an area where people are running into trouble.
And why do you think that people are still finding it difficult to stick to the rule?
Some of our areas are quite congested with commercial operators, out-of-towners and locals, especially in the summer period. People who come from out of town may not know local bylaws or have local knowledge, so they can get into trouble faster. It has been a lot better in the last couple of years with myself and Dan having a stronger presence on the water and also with help from our launch warden in Kaiteri. When you're passionate like me and Dan about boat safety, it's really nice to see that our presence paying off.
Yeah, and what happens if you don't follow the rule?
Yeah, it's very important for everyone's safety that boaties follow the rules on the water, especially in those close to shore within 200 metres.
That's good to know. Let's make sure all of us do our bit to keep our coastlines and waterways safe this summer. Some people may not know this, but if you're on the water and you see a vessel displaying a white and blue dive flag, it means there are divers in the water around them.
Yes, it means they have a 200 metre safety zone around them. So if you're approaching them, please slow down. And once you get within the 200 metres, you need to slow down to 5 knots or slower.
And does the flag need to be a certain size?
Yeah, so the smallest size is 60 centimetres squared. You can obviously go bigger, and the bigger you go, the better it is.
And even though every boat that has divers in the water around them should be displaying a flag, would it be a good idea to be cautious around boats in areas that are known to be good for diving, but they are not displaying a dive flag, like just in case?
Yeah, definitely. So Maritime National Law states that once within 50 metres of any vessel, you need to be travelling at a speed 5 knots or slower. As a general rule of thumb, it is good to use this rule in all cases.
Sounds like displaying a dive flag could easily divert many situations from potentially being very dangerous.
Again, it's just common sense and something that every boatie should have tucked away in the top cabin to avoid being disturbed if you're going to be diving.
This summer, we want to make sure that boaties are aware of just how quickly accidents can happen. If you had 10 seconds until your boat sank, could you grab life jackets and two different ways of communicating? Three boats sank very suddenly in our region last summer, and all the boaties, all of them local, found themselves in the water within seconds. But thankfully, all of them survived. One of the accidents was a wooden launch that hauled near Pepin Island, and the boatie only had time to send a distress call and grab a survival bag containing flares before he was in rough seas for 3 hours waiting for rescue. The second was a 5-meter vessel that tipped over when its 4 occupants saw a kingfish and all rushed to one side. With emergency equipment underwater, it was fortunate they were able to keep one cell phone dry enough to call 111. And finally, a wave swamped a 3.5-meter aluminium dinghy not far from Patton's Rock. The boaties were rescued after 2 hours in the dark when their calls for help were heard on shore. Our harbourmaster, Dan, says that the big lesson people should learn from this is not just that it's about having the communication equipment, but having it on hand, because it's no good having it locked away. And Maritime New Zealand recommends you have 2 types of waterproof communication, such as a flare, cell phone, whistle, VHF radio, and a beacon or EPIRB in a grab bag. Dan, for instance, clips his EPIRB to his life jacket at all times. Before you head out on the water this summer, make sure you get a copy of our boating and water sports guide, which is full of handy information about different boating areas and the different rules that apply in each of the parts of the coastline. You can pick up a copy at the boat ramps and on our website, tasman.govt.nz, and search for boating guide. Just a few quick reminders now. If you're looking for current consultations, you can find them on our website at tasman.govt.nz/feedback. That's where you go for the current consultations. There's also links there to current resource consents that are notified and other resource management plan changes as well. If you want to pay something, head to tasman.govt.nz/pay and that will take you to your options. If you're looking for work, you can search tasman.govt.nz for vacancies or jobs. And you'll also find on our website environmental data, rainfall, river flow, air quality, groundwater flow, and weather information, and much more. There's also property information and maps. You can look up rates details for properties, and believe it or not, you can look up cemeteries information. That is all we have time for today. If you need anything from us at any time, our main office number is 03-543-8400. 03-543-8400. Somebody will answer the phone 24 hours a day. If you'd like to listen back to this show or subscribe to a podcast, you can do that online at tasman.govt.nz. Search for podcasts. We're also in the iTunes store, we're in freshfm.net, and the Access Internet Radio app has us, so you can find us in plenty of places. You can look us up on Twitter at TasmanDC, you can like us on Facebook, and you can hear us right here on local radio. Tasman District Council Lowdown airs Mondays 20 to 12. It's repeated on Wednesday at 20 to 4 and Tuesday 20 to 7 in the morning.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Other great local programs from Fresh FM are available through the Access Internet Radio app or our website, freshfm.net.